Will you pray with me? God, I think it's been noted that it's hot today. And I think you know that. And I think you created that on some level. Well, on all levels, really. But here's the point, is we really do want to encounter you. I love the way that even Tara framed it, is that there's an opportunity here for us to see or hear or listen or experience something different. And so just help us to open our hearts. I pray that for myself. I pray that for all of us that want to recoil and resist. And I just pray that we step into that and see what you have for us. I do believe in blessing in that regard, that you're honored by us kind of muscling through and showing up. And I know we're kind of whiny about it, but you also showed up on a cross, and that probably was way less comfortable than this is. And so we want to acknowledge you, and we want to get our hearts somehow aligned with you in that. And I pray for health and all the stuff that, like, Gene was talking about earlier. So I just pray for protection in the middle of it. But even if we have to call the ambulance today, we know that it's worth it, because we're here to see you and worship you. So we ask you to show up, please. And I know you are, but just saying it out loud. Thank you. Amen. So one of the things that we're talking about in this is, so what, anybody, just for fun, the series, the title has been what? Awesome. And do you know that there's a subtitle to this series? Blessing and Obedience. So we haven't hit that very hard. We were working on that, and we're like, they don't know that. We don't know that. How do we tie that together? So we're kind of going through all this and trying to say, like, how do we sew this up? How do we tie it up? And so one of the things that came to mind as we were kind of working on some things is that, what is the result of this blessing? Like, what does it look like? What's the character of it? We did a little bit of reading. I just did a little bit of reading on the word study. And there's this weirdness about blessedness that there's not like an abstract definition of it as it appears to God. Like, blessedness is somehow contained within God himself. It's somehow, like, I can't attribute blessedness to God. I can't bless him, right, with something outside of him. He is, so when we talk about blessing God, we are what we're actually doing, and as the word grew, we're bowing, we're kneeling, we're worshiping him, right? Like, there's something going on there, so there's not this external sort of blessedness. But when we are blessed, when you and I are blessed, thank you very much, we are receiving something. If you go a little later in scripture and stuff, in fact, Eugene Peterson will talk about this. He wanted to use in his Message Bible the word lucky. Lucky are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Lucky are you who mourn. Fortunate is the word, right? Fortunate, blessed. Like, we don't think of it in that. We make everything all churchy, and we take the guts out of things, right? But it's like we won the lottery. We're the fortunate ones. You're like, but I'm poor. I'm hot. I'm whatever. I'm in all these situations that I don't choose. And yet the scripture says, no. If you remain faithful in that, you get to receive blessing. And there's another word that kind of is a little bit different, but there's this word of called grace. We talked a little bit about it in one of the things. I tried to unpack it a little bit. I'm trying to play with it. It's hard to, you know, get your head or get your mind and soul around grace. What is grace? Well, one of the things where Walter Brueggemann says, he talks about how grace in the beginning of Scripture and how it kind of shows up in the beginning is very much like the karma system, right? If you're good and you do right, guess what? You are blessed, or you get grace. Does that make sense? It's a very, like, if you live wise, if you save your money, guess what? You're going to have a good retirement. It's just going to work that way. But then they get into the exile period, and when you get into the exile period, it changes a little bit to that grace becoming more or less hope, right? We look forward to the release, to the recovery of what we were once had, right? And so it begins to shift a little bit. And then, of course, you have some of those contrary scriptures. For example, Job talks about what? There's this cosmic conversation going on, and calamity hits this guy, and he's got to somehow work through, but wait a minute, I lived a good life. I did everything. What is my sin? And it's like, you know, he's got to work through all of that. Because what do we know about reality? Bad things happen to who? All of us, good or bad, but yes, good people. That's so the point being is that it changed a little bit of its meaning, and then grace kind of gets toward the end there where, you know what, grace starts to become simply because of God's goodness. Like, I'm going to have grace on you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be in your life simply because I am good. Subtext there is what? Because you're not. Right? Like, because we're not able to do it right. We're not able to maintain it. We look in scripture later and it says, God loves us. Why? Like, we love God. We love God because he first loved us. Right? So there's this shift in theology. There's this shift. While we were yet sinners, God or Christ died for us. Right? Suddenly it shifts in this sort of way. It doesn't negate the other. All usages all the way through it. I'm giving you like a very crude sort of sweep on it. All of it has its place. Does that mean we just disregard our lives and disregard, you know, living a holy and righteous life? No, that's not, because, you know, New Testament brings that back into play in a lot of different ways. But yet there's still this element where we earned none of this. We are lucky. We are blessed. We are fortunate, right? So the result of that in my, like, that jumps out of me. How many of you guys remembered Brene Brown? Anybody hear of Brene Brown? Like, she's got this famous thing on what? Vulnerability. And vulnerability, it, you know, if you look, she's got like 59 million views. And she's a cultural tidal wave. Okay, she's out there and she's got a lot of fantastic things to say. I would say if you learned from her, you would do well. Is she all in all? Do I 100%? What her thing is, though, is you do these things, you get what? You get wholeheartedness. A wholeheartedness. If you guys came, some of you guys came to the reveal intro meeting. If you guys saw that, and they did that big circle, right? And they did, these are our behaviors. And then they drew a circle in middle. And they go, these are our feelings. And then they drew a circle in the middle of that. And it said, this is our belief system. This is our center kind of steering wheel, our core of who we are. Right? The core of who we are steers our feelings. And therefore steers our actions and our doings. Right? If I believe that Bronson hates me, I'm going to all of a sudden find all these reasons to believe, to support that belief. So he doesn't call me back, or he doesn't get back to me in time, or he doesn't do this, or he, you know, drives away when I'm talking to him, or whatever the case is. I'm automatically going to do what? I'm going to import that inner belief system, and I'm going to attribute it, and then everything else I do, then I'm going to be a schnit, you know, I'm going to be pissed off, I'm going to be hurt feelings, right? Tim Keller says this funny thing about hurt feelings, right? Your feelings can't get hurt. What's he say?
Ego. Your ego.
Your ego gets hurt. You can't hurt feelings. You can only hurt your... So there's this thing about psychology that they talk about. Like there's this inner something inside of us. And what I'm coming at it is, you know, if you listen to Brene Brown, it's how you access it is vulnerability. I don't negate that. But what I'm going after, or what occurs to me, is the way that God set this up is he gave these commands, these prime commands that get us to this centered self, this place of belief system. And Allie's done a great job with the kids on this. I'm going to pass it to you a little bit. Are you okay with where we're at?
Yep, good. We worked on this, but it's...
Yes, yes. So how we even got to this concept of this centered, wholehearted... We took this yes and amen, blessing of obedience concept that, by the way, came from a number of people praying into what we felt like this church needed to hear. It wasn't just Brad saying, you know what, these people need to obey, you know, or it wasn't just Tara saying, there's a blessing in it. She did say that. He did say that. We all said, we all need to hear yes and amen. We all need to hear from the Lord about that. And so that's why we've been doing it. We have had many different voices bringing in different topics So I got to kick the series off with Yes and Amen on Mother's Day and talking about how to say yes. Just how to. It's yield, I forget, and submit. So I will look that E up later. The E in my yes. But anyway, so we started with that. And then, what? Expect? It was expect. Yep. Good job. Good job listening. Yay, gold star. So anyway, we started with that. And then we went through a bunch of different commands of the Lord to obey, some basic ones. We talked about grace. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about parenting. We talked about marriage. We talked about saying yes to
the living water.
Yeah. A number of different things, and they're all on the website, right? So if you want to go back and listen. But we focused on godly living. That's basically like, how do we live godly lives? We say yes to God, and these are some of those areas. Why aren't I living perfectly? Why am I still not giving grace? Why am I still mad, you know, when things aren't going the way I want them to? Why I've been doing all the right things, you know? And it comes down to the command of the Lord that I've been talking with the kids about. And if we can get to this, and this is what's going to take us into the next pieces, what is his command? What is he says is the greatest commandment of all? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with soul, mind, and strength. Your whole heart. Your whole heart. Your whole being. And guess what? We can't do that on our own. But we are in the process. And that's why it's not like this. That's why he's refining us. He's starting to heal our heart to make it whole. But he's the only one that can do that. That's where wholeheartedness comes. And so it's this weird circle, right? It's like, and that's what Brad's going to talk a little bit about. But we're not there yet. But that doesn't mean we stop. And that's it. Yeah. And then out of that, right, it's you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. We were talking with the DeGels last night. What one is it? Heart, mind, soul, strength, thought. You know, there's four, I think, in there. But and then it says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? It doesn't say love your neighbor as yourself first and then love the Lord your God. So this is where we're coming to the center. It starts with love the Lord your God with all your heart. From that flows the life and love for your neighbor, love for your closest neighbor. And my next closest neighbor. And my next closest neighbor. And then my next closest neighbor. And then you all. You know, like it's this ripple. I talked about the ripple effect of your yes and your no having a ripple effect. But it starts with coming to the center of your heart. And that's where we're going to talk about today. So there's that.
Yeah. One of the things that somebody asked, first of all, if you want any truth telling lately, and you know, you might call Tim Quedems, like you might get some truth telling because that guy's like unfiltered right now. He might be crashed right now, but he was on this steroid and he was hoarse because he was talking so much. Because how many of you guys know that Tim has never met a stranger, right? He's best friends within a couple of minutes, and then they're working from there. And so he was talking to me a little bit, and he just talking about, so why do you get up and just scream and yell at people, like get people going and stuff? And there's a couple reasons for that. And it's a drive to this wholeheartedness. It's a drive to say, I want an experience with us, right, that is full and robust. And when we hold back, there's stuff that kind of triggers me. Right? Now, some of that's my own issue and my own stuff. We get that. I get all that. And I need to work through that. Get the log out of my high first. I get that. And so that you know, and I'm in this weird position because I'm supposed to be leading worship, right? I'm the, believe it or not, I'm the worship leader of this church. It's kind of a weird thing to think of myself in that respect. So I'm trying to interpret information. And so I might be interpreting wrong, right? Like, I'm like pushing you guys to go, and you're like, dude, I'm going full blast. Well, I need to hear that from you. I might need to hear questions. I might need you to get on steroids and go get cancer and then talk to me so that it's like completely like, you know, I don't mean it, but that's an extreme. But Tim's like, I don't need to pull punches anymore, which is, it's beautiful. I love it. And he's like, it's amazing, but that's all another story. But the point I'm trying to get to on that is we want to have that truth in our community, that wholehearted, even in conversation, right? Like, look, dude, I'm doing what I can do. What's your problem? Or, you know, if I'm offending you, you need to listen to that and have a conversation. Don't make it about you in that sense, but make it about, hey, I'm really, Brad McDermott here, trying to create a communal experience. Now, yes, I may not have got the log out of my eye before I said something, so maybe that's an opportunity for me to get a little pushback, and then I work on that, and we come back together. But as long as we're clear on the goal, and the goal is wholeheartedness, the goal is fully committed, fully like, hey, what is it? Because I believe that you will be blessed and you will find blessing if you give everything you have in this way. And we can articulate what that means as we go, because even Paul, it's all over the place. You can't articulate it super clean and super clear based on this person. Yeah, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He committed, and we're going to get to that full-heartedly in that sense. But I'm interested in this robustness of community, right? And I'm learning how to communicate that because I don't communicate everything well. You know, I'm frustrated this morning because I'm trying to communicate one thing about this and that. And my schema has a certain thing inside me, and I know exactly what I'm saying. But the person on the other side of me doesn't know exactly what I'm trying to say. So all the response is completely not what I'm saying. And then I'm trying to figure out how to communicate. Well, one of my things that I, you know, confess, and you can send me the bill for therapy later. But the point is sometimes I get frustrated in that regard, and I don't do so well. And then I have to do what? Ask for forgiveness. Because my heart and my goal is that true relationship and that engagement. I forget very easily, and I think that we all do, but if we keep our mind on the goal of relationship, and the goal primarily is if we get clear that we're worshiping God first, he is the truth, and we're going from there, and then we work from there. Super clear so far? Okay, so I'm going to go into the passage, right? So the passage we chose, and I'm not even sure how we got there in our meeting. Yes.
How do we share that, hey, we are going full bore, like in real time, you know? How do you want that done?
You don't necessarily have to. And we'll get to that, right? Like, you can, if I'm offending you, just say like, dude, chill, right? Like, you know, you could go this, you could give thumbs up, right? Like the same way, like it's, there's an element where we're going to get to this, but this centeredness, what is our centeredness? Our centeredness is we're children of God. That's our primary identity. And as we go forward in that, we're going, it's all being refined as we go. So relationship triggers that. I make a joke about, hey, I'm a darn good guitar player when I'm alone in my room by myself. But when I get around somebody who actually knows rhythm, I'm not so good, right? Like, I fade really quick, or when you hear me too much, I'm the same, you know, strum pattern or whatever the case is. But when we get in a band, what does that do? And we work with other people. It refines us, and we have to actually kind of learn the skills to play with each other. And I think of that relationally as well. Like, I think I'm totally secure in my identity with Christ, right? When I'm by myself, but then I put that in play with the rest of y'all, and I find out I'm not as secure in that. And so then I get a choice to be made there. And that's kind of where we're going to. That's exactly the point. Does that make sense? So good. Paul says this. Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. A lot of us know that there's all these different letters going back and forth, right? We have 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but our 1 Corinthians is probably 2 Corinthians. You want to cheer? Yeah, maybe. And then we're going to go back and forth, but just for a second, I just want to get into the text here, is our 1 Corinthians is probably 2 Corinthians, and our 2 Corinthians is a hodgepodge of like 3rd, 4th, 5th, maybe even 6th Corinthians, right? There's like a bunch of different letters edited together, probably, okay? We don't have access to the exactness on that. But he says this, and so he goes to this whole thing about consoling one another. You are consoled so that you can console others. And he says very explicitly, the affliction that we experienced is for your sake so that we can, you know, reflect the Jesus basically to you. And he gets to this point, and this is what I want for us. This is what we're after. This is what we're living into. And I think we do this pretty well. But indeed, he says, this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience. We have behaved in the world with frankness. Now, that word is frankness, holiness. Oh, I'm sorry. You want to be where I'm at. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. See? In my head, I know where I'm going. But you don't always know, right? That's a good example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. And there's a real time right there, example. Indeed, this is our boast, the testimony of our conscience. We have behaved in this world with frankness. Some of you guys might say holiness. It also might say simplicity. Okay? We have behaved in this world with frankness and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and all the more toward you. For we write these things, we write you nothing other than what you can read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end, as you have already understood us in part, that on the day of the Lord Jesus, we are your boast, even as you're our boast. So this idea of this is a work in progress shows up there, right? Like, Paul has an idea what he's trying to communicate, but these guys don't, and he realizes they don't, but he's like encouraging them, hey, you already get part of it, just keep working on it, right? And keep working on it because we're working together on this. And so he gets to this part here, and I just think when I read this, when we talk about the wholeheartedness, what is it that we as Faith Worship community look like? We want to have this simple holiness, this simple frankness, this simple expression of the gospel, and that it shows up without all of, you know, we don't want to contrive, we don't want to have all this pretense, we don't want to have to, oh God, you know, like this, like, you have all of those imaginations. I don't want to be too disparaging towards people, but you know how, like, you know, it feels like, you know, you're talking to someone and it just feels like it's whipped cream, you know, they're saying all the right things, but it just comes off as like a little not substantial. Does that make sense? Super good. So what I'm looking for is what's the wholeheartedness, this clarity in who we are. Okay, good. So moving on just a little bit more. Did you have anything to enter on that part? Because we were going to talk about, okay. I have an idea what she's supposed to say. I've got her notes right here, so I'm trying to follow right here. Okay. So Paul is in this argument with these guys, and this is going to show up here. And I don't want to get too much into the weeds, into the argument, but there's an element where they're challenging his authority, and they're challenging him. And you're going to see really quick, so let me just read this, and then we'll kind of unpack it. Verse 15, since I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first. Like, he's sure that he wants to boast and participate in this thing that he's talking about, this frankness and godly sincerity. And so that you might have a double favor, I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and then come back to you from Macedonia and have you, and this is an idiom, send me on my way to Judea. Send me on my way as a financial, like, he's trying to get, you know, collect money for the church in Jerusalem. And so he gets to this part here, and then on 17, it kind of turns here. Listen to this. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the ordinary human standards, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim to you, that is Silvanus and Timothy and I, who we proclaim to you, was not yes and no, but in him is always yes. Okay, so let's pause right there for a second. We all know the experience. Hey, Tara, do you want to go to the movie with me tonight? Well, maybe. I don't know. You know, or, you know, like that kind of thing. Or I don't know if you, here again, the little thing. Well, if the Lord wills, right? Like, there's a truth to that, but there's this weirdness to it that comes out. Just like, yeah, I want to go. Do you want to go or not? It's a simple thing. Like, yeah, right? There's some, you know, you can get conditions in there, but the thing is we have this in our culture. You know that I'm not talking just here, you and I, but there's a cultural withholding of oneself. We don't actually commit. And it's this weird thing that we know that we want this, but even if I do, like, so this, you know, I go to these trainings, right? One of the things they said, well, you guys were in it. And she goes like, Brad, I hear you say I want a lot. I want to love. I want to do that, right? Like, even that, there's a little bit of a gap in me actually saying, Danny, I love you. You hear the vulnerability, right? It breaks it down. It gets us a little more clear. Like, I will be there at the movie at this time or whatever. And the time, we can play with that culturally. I don't want to get caught up in the time element of it so much as the commitment and the being our word, the following through, the willingness to be who we say we're going to be. So Paul's saying, I'm not that way. I'm not like the world and vacillating back and forth. When I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Now, we can also get caught up in that because why? Some people say, I'm going to do it, and they really do mean it. Like Danny says, I'll be there. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really believe you, right? So that causes problems too. So there's a push and pull on that. There's a balance, a trust going both ways. So anyway, you get the point on that, right? We want to understand that. But what these people said in the middle of that is, I don't believe you. I don't believe what you say about Jesus based on this vacillating back and forth. They're accusing him of vacillating, and they go the next level and say, yeah, and that also undermines your testimony. What's that? With what you're saying about Jesus. And so this next part is what Paul's retort is on this. And this is kind of the punchline of the passage and the punchline of the message through this whole series. He says this in verse 20. So in other words, I don't believe Jesus loves me. I don't believe he's for me. I don't believe, I can't trust him. Why? Because you didn't show up when you said you were going to show up. Paul's saying, I didn't do what you're accusing me of doing. Right? I didn't do it that way. I intended to do it, and I follow Christ's command. I am listening to him. I am doing what he said. For whatever reason, he didn't make it back. He is saying convictedly, wholeheartedly, with conviction and strength and all of that, that that's not what happened. But then he says this. He says, for in God, for in Jesus, every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason, it is through him that we say amen to the glory of God. But it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us by putting on his seal and giving us his spirit in our hearts as a first installment. I believe I'm a good Christian by myself. I trust the identity that God has for me. I have all of these things until I get into relationship, and then it starts getting challenged. And then my insecurities go like, am I really a Christian? Am I really a good person? Does God really love me? Right? And the point of this situation here is to say, no. He loves you. He has proven it in Jesus Christ. You get this, whatever this blessedness is, this lucky, this fortunate, this solid center, this wholeheartedness, that is your promise. The installment is Jesus Christ. All of those flutteries that we have, all of those things about, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm doing it right and I feel stupid and, you know, whatever. Or the other side of that, our dogmatism, like where we demand that we're right, right? You know that feeling when someone's like arguing, knowing that they're right, but they don't feel like they know that they're right. They're just trying to convince themselves, right? I've done that more than once, but you get real dogmatic in that regard. So that also gets challenged inside of us and to go like, where do I just simply rest in what God has said in Jesus Christ? Where do I just simply go, okay, I hear all of the things, so kind of coming back to your point, Bronson, is like, no, Brad's doing his thing. I'm really good with you, God. And you could, like, actually, there's a place where you could have just like, oh, cool, thanks, Brad, or whatever. Like, we have a story. I don't know, can I share the personal? So we're working on something. Something happened at the 4th of July. We were up in Montana. And I don't know if you know this, but in Montana, they go and get their fireworks from the same place that Disneyland does, right? The Indian reservations, they sell the real deal. But only there are no controls. Like, Disneyland has them in, like, tubes and safety and all that stuff. So I'm, like, nervous as all get out because they're shooting off these real fireworks that I don't think small children should be touching, let alone shooting them off, right? So I'm, like, already upset about this. Not upset, like, in a bad way, but just, like, nervous, right? And this car comes flying down the street. It probably wasn't going more than 25 miles an hour, but everybody else is coming down at 15, so you feel the difference. And not only is he coming down the street with kids running all over the place, they have the regular fireworks too, where the kids are doing the sparklers and dancing and all that stuff. But the dude's like this, driving down the street at 25 miles an hour. And I'm like, it incites me, you know? And I'm like, hey, slow down. And I yell that out, right? Well, as I do that, like two other people also kind of say something or make a comment about it. Well, Allie's like, you know, what did you say? What's the word?
Don't be a Karen.
Don't be a Karen. Now I'm pissed off. Why are you picking on me? Why about these guys, right? And I could run this whole thing through to just be whatever. Well, I don't know where that's coming from in her. And what I could simply do is be confident in myself to say, like, that guy's driving like an idiot, and so probably not a bad thing to say something, right? And I could just put my arm on her and just say, I hope you're okay, or I could talk to her. We can connect in that way in real time. There's a place in me. But do I go there? No. I start getting all, like, fluttery, and my wife's, you know, like, demeaning me in front of everybody, and I go through this whole racket. The centeredness just falls apart. Right? Do you want to say anything? I think I got on a roll a little bit. You guys are dying of heat. Is this helpful at all? This is the point of why we did this. If you want to flip over to James, this is the beauty. This is the point. This is where I'm coming at this at. Please. Okay. Right. Yeah, that's been made clear, right? That's hitting it right where we're talking about. See, the triggers, right? And we can look at those in a derogatory way, in like a self, you know, abasing way, right? Or we could look at them like this. Verse 2, James 1. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that it's the testing of your faith. It is like, it's touching, those triggers are there to help. If we look at it a certain way, they're there to help refine us, refine that centered, that wholeheartedness, that sincerity of faith. And yes, in that process, we get healed, right? So because you know that it's the testing of your faith that produces what? Endurance. Let the endurance have its full effect on us so that we may be mature or wholehearted or strong or solid center and complete in our faith, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God who gives you all generously and ungrudgingly. So if you do feel fluttery, what's your option? Where are you supposed to go? Back to Jesus. Like, hey, I'm a solid Christian. Da, 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 da. Right? Get fluttery. How do I fix it? Go back to Jesus, right? That's the fix. The fix is the thing. Oh, it exposed that I'm not really good with Jesus. What do we do in our culture? Oh, gosh, I'm not really good with Jesus. I suck. No, get back in line and just go like, I'm here, right? The emotions, the feelings, all of those things come up, and I could then take every thought captive, Paul says in another spot, and I can trust that. At whatever point, because now I'm like over here and I'm beating myself up and I'm walking away. No, whatever point I can repent, I can get back here. Okay? It doesn't matter how far away you go. It matters on some level, maybe, but there's always, always a chance. Verse 5, it says, if any of you, there's always a chance for repentance, to finish that sentence. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, verse 5, ask God who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith. Now, this is what's funny. Never doubting, right? Like, you're not supposed to be doubting. For the one who doubts is a wave of the sea. And now you're going to hear it, right? Like, just picture what we're talking about. The flutteriness, the driven and tossed by the wind. Insecure and doubter and all these kind of things come up, right? For the doubter is double-minded and unstable in every way. Must not expect to receive anything from God. So if we ask without having faith, so it's almost like it's like a trick, right? You're not supposed to perform. Oh, that's it. That's how I'm not supposed to do it. So I'll perform by not performing, right? It's like it folds in on itself. Like, you're not supposed to really want it. But I do. But how do you do that? Like, it's this weird thing. It sort of folds in on itself. But the trick here is Jesus is the trump card. Jesus, like, fixing our eyes. We can't articulate it super well. I can't get my schema out, but I know what that centeredness is. And if I can't experience it, partly it's because maybe I'm not experiencing it, but I still can, how do I push through? How do I hold on? How do I dive into worship or whatever the, you know, into prayer or whatever? Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and let the rich be brought low, because the rich will disappear like the flower in the field. For the sun rises, amen, and its scorching heat, come on, I don't hear any amens, right? And withers the field, and its flowers fall. Anybody falling? Yes. And the beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich in the midst of this busy life. They will wither away. Now here's the word, right? Verse 12. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Push through. There's something beautiful about us coming together this morning. I don't know if anybody else got texts, but I got a couple texts of like, hey, I can't hang today. Like, that was literally a text I got. I can't hang today. I'm taking a day off, right? Not trying to be whatever to them, but I am saying, hey, there's something about this, you know? If you're going to be in it, you might as well win it, right? Like, go for it. Just let it go. Let's walk home and, like, have to change clothes because they're soaked, right? And let's just fall in love with the Lord deeper, and let's find him in the middle of it. That's just one way of applying this, but I just thought it was perfect. But blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one is the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be the tempter by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desires and being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire has conceived, it gives full birth to sin, and then sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. When it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. So again, just doubling down on who the Lord is, doubling down, pushing through. Gosh, I don't feel like worshiping. I love when you did that, like, rah, you know, like, I don't want to do it. So it makes me think about some of those times when I'm feeling that way. Like, I don't want to push through. You think I'm jumping up around? Yes, I am trying. I'm looking at faces and I'm like, gosh, you don't want to engage. You don't seem like you're into it. Yes, I could go up and ask, right? There is a part. But in real time, sometimes it's like, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's push through, right? And then if you don't, then I could let you alone. That's fine, whatever. And yes, I could repent of that if that's something I need to repent of. But that's what I'm up to. I'm like pushing through. And I'm calling us as a community to push through this trouble spot. Too often I will come away from a service that has that sort of dead feeling in it and having everybody go like, yeah, it was dead, it was dead, it was dead, it was dead. And it's too late to do it then, right? But doing it in the middle of it and making the course adjustment in the middle of it and trying to work together, that's what I'm calling you guys to do as well, is when you feel it, when you experience it, get into it, push through. Don't let one voice be the only voice. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Well, I'm willing to whack that back. But if you're wrong, so what? Walk it back, right? Like, don't get out there. Be vulnerable. Be committed. Be invested. Don't just let the rest of us die. Or, maybe if you feel like I'm, like, out over my skis, then maybe that's an opportunity for you to kind of come alongside. Does that make sense? There's a lot of energy right there. And all God's people took a breath.
We stumbled somewhat upon that James passage, but really it summed it up. It sums it up. The whole point of walking with the Lord is there's invitations every time we run into a flutter, any time we run into an offense, any time we run into a trial. He says there will be trials. We're people. We're not perfect. We're not wholehearted. The process is a process of becoming refined to the point where eventually we will be on the other side of this earth. That doesn't mean we stop trying. That doesn't mean we stop as soon as figuring out, oh, this is not, I'm offline. That doesn't mean keep going down that line. It means get back in line. Jesus is the center. And that's the point. So don't be deceived when you run into trials that's a sign for you to fall into those, I guess that's just the way I'm supposed to do it, or that's just who I am. That's the deception. That is the lie. That's just who I am. I'm just this. I'm just a failure. Oh, I didn't show up for that. Oh, I didn't worship that way. Whatever it is, whatever the lie that the enemy's trying to get into you, come back to Jesus. Get back to the center. I wrote, what's the call to action? Because I like having a walk away action from things. It's come back to the center and to the fact that all of Jesus' promises, he promised to restore us. He promised to heal us. He promises that come back to that, and his promises are found in coming back to Jesus. And so I love the way the message says this, and this is from Jesus. So our whole thing with the children's ministry has been about obeying Jesus's commands and his words. And it started with God saying out loud, this is my son in whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. These are his words to you. Jesus answered them, do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it. This is to his disciples. After he's already been with them and hanging out with them. In fact, you're about to make a run for it, saving your own skins and abandoning me. But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. I've told you all of this so that trusting me, I'm telling you to that the Father is with me. That's what he's pointing to. So that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, even from his own people. But take heart. I've conquered the world. The answer is in Jesus. It is not in people. It is not in organizations. It is not in something to make us feel good. It's not in shame. It's not in defeat. It's not in deceit. It's in Jesus and our identity. And remembering that he died for you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. That's the promise. Will not perish, but have eternal life. There will be difficulties. Get back to the center of what this is about, and that's Jesus. And say yes and amen. Over and over and over and over and over again. Thanks for walking with us. We're doing this together. It takes two. It takes more than two. But when we're alone and doing it, we think we are great. And then we encounter people. And that's where we need Jesus even more. And I think the thing is that you guys know, but I'm just telling you, is that's what we're here for. We're here to worship Jesus with others and to allow each other to be his tools to help refine us. So we welcome you into our lives. We love you. Don't run away. Come talk to us and worship with us. With that, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be doing a worship night, a time just to come and worship the Lord together. The kids will be with me, and then we're going to probably be taking them to Harbor Trinity to their kids' club so that parents and adults, you can have a time of rest in worship. Not that the kids are a problem or a bother, but sometimes you just need a container built where they're learning too and worshiping too, and you have a little bit of freedom and space. That's going to start on the 21st of September. The adults will be at the Degels. The kids will be at my house. Come. Come to Jesus. That's it.
We're going to take communion. Always, these things don't feel complete. There's a lot of different areas that we didn't hit that we wanted to hit with the yes and amen. We wanted to hit work. We wanted to hit finances. We want to hit, like, all of these things. And what feels right at this point is, like, this is all part of the work in progress. We want to surrender our whole lives. We're not going to be able to articulate it perfectly. But the world wants something that you and I have. And we have, we touch it. You know, John talks about we've tasted it. We've seen it. We've held it. You know, and there's something about what we're talking about that's true. And what's cool about it is we get to have communion. And Jesus is not silly. You know, I mean, the whole point in some ways of Jesus, for God to send Jesus, is so that we have some tangibility. So that we have a tangible, like, down payment that his promises. God says, I love you. And it's simply because I'm a lover. And I have to put it out on something. And you are my apple of my eye. I created you. I know you wrecked it. I know you flubbed it up. I know that you're like fluttery and all those messes that you and I are. And he says, nope, I'm going to love you because I got nothing else to do with this love but like just lavish it on you. And so he has that tangibility come in Jesus. And there again, that's the point of what Paul's getting at, is that's the point. And then he also gives us the communion. And the communion is that tangibility that we get to have once a month.